For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday evening service of September the 2nd, 1995. Mildred and Jim Coffey from Tennessee are the ministers of the evening. The Coffeys are going to minister for us this evening. And Jim is going to come, I guess, and start off here. And then Sister Coffey will help him along in between. And I don't know what they're going to teach on or how we're going to end this service, but however the Lord lays on them, to whatever they teach on, and however, that's the way this service will end this evening. I'll see you in the morning for prayer meeting, those that are here, and the Lord won't let you sleep after 6 o'clock, get you down here, in here. And then we'll have morning service at 10. 1:15, there will be a men's and women's deliverance session. And then at 3 o'clock, Dr. Noel will be bringing another deliverance session. And tomorrow night, then Colonel Speed Wilson will be ministering. So the Lord bless you, and Coffey, brother and sister Coffey, come and minister to us this evening.
Hallelujah. Glory to God, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He's announced my name. I'm Jim Coffey. We have a church. My wife and myself are co-pastors of a church. We were called to pastor a church in 1979 in December. 1979, we're still there. We have Tree of Life Church in Millington, Tennessee, a full gospel church. That's who we are. She just told me what she's going to preach on. She's going to preach tonight. I'm not going to preach. I preached yesterday, so Mildred's going to preach tonight. The Lord, when He called us, He called Mildred into a deliverance ministry. He didn't call me. He called Mildred. People sometimes get the idea that pastors are something different, something special. We're people. About 18 years ago, we went out to eat one Saturday night, carried our 2-year-old granddaughter with us. You believe in angels? Well, we went out and ate and carried this little granddaughter, and we ate, and we come back and got in the car and pulled out of a side street into a big thoroughfare. And I looked and pulled out, and I like to have got hit. I mean, there was a car coming. If I hadn't slapped on brakes, we probably all would have been killed. That car went right by us, just sailing by us and just barely missed us and would have hit us had I not stopped. And I was sitting there just shaking, and my little 2-year-old granddaughter standing between the two of us, and she's all of a sudden says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And I had to call on that strength at that time, too. God's angel watched over us that night. 50 years ago, I asked a young lady to marry me. I went away. We had a long courting time. We really had a time of courting. We courted all of 2 weeks. Every bit of it. And she had to ask her parents permission to get married. She wasn't old enough to get married. She had to ask, and they said no. They said it'd never last. We got married anyhow, and I agree with them. It'll never last. One day we'll go home to be with the Lord. But the Lord has blessed us greatly. We have 4 children. Not children any longer. I have a 50-year-old son. Well, he's close enough to 50. They call 50. He's better 49 and a half, I think. So he's on his way to 50. And my baby's pushing 40. So, 41. Oh, my goodness, I missed that one. So we're not children any longer. I just wanted you to know who we are. We're people. We're people just like you that the Lord called. And because we trusted God and put our faith in Him, He's taken care of us, and He's brought us through all kinds of trials. And I'm not going to stand up here and talk all night about the trials, I want you to know that my God is a God you can trust. He's a God that you can put your faith in. And He's given all kinds of provision for you and I to make it. And we're not going to tell our life story, I don't think. I think I know what she's going to preach on, but you never know. And Glenn, only the Lord knows how we're going to end this. I don't know, and I'm sure she doesn't know. All right. Because we trust the Lord to move as we move in ministry, so I don't know what's going to take place here tonight. But God called my wife as a pastor, and that's unusual because we have a Baptist background, and Baptists don't believe in women preachers, do they? But God did the calling, and God gave her the message, and God continually feeds her yet. So we don't have any problem coming before the pulpit to present the Word of God to the people. I just wanted you to know who we were, and we've become a deliverance church. We're a very small church, but we're a deliverance church. Just north of Memphis, Tennessee, about 20 miles out of Memphis, a little town called Millington, Tennessee, and that's who we are and where we are. But we are God's people, and we've come to minister tonight to you. Come, Mildred.
Set it on, Glenn.
Turn it on. Praise the Lord. Oh, goodness. I like this. This is how you see everyone. The Lord is good, isn't He?
Yes.
You know, He said something about angels. You know, my husband has a real bad habit of preaching my sermons. I can go and study and study. We study in different rooms, and he'll end up preaching my sermon if he preaches before I do. He has no idea where I'm going to preach. At times, and he'll get up and I'll say, "Honey, you're stealing my sermon," and I have to go back and Lord gives me another one. But we praise the Lord for what He's doing and what He has shown us. And He's talking about the Lord called me. I will share this. I've had more trouble, I think, with women than I have men by being a preacher out of a Baptist church. The Lord called me to in my bed one night, and the Lord healed me of cancer, and I made a promise to the Lord that if He would heal me, that I would do what He asked me to do. Anything He called me to do, I'd do it. And I think Brother Glenn talked this afternoon, something was said about when you bow unto the Lord, you better keep it. Because, you know, if we make a vow to Him and we don't do it, we sin. And so the Lord called me in the bed one night. I was crying, and he said he had called me to minister the word. And I had prophecy after prophecy given to me, and I don't live by prophecy. I live by the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God. But I've had prophecy given to me that God was going to feed me and that I was to teach the word and preach the word. And, man, that's the furthest thing from my mind, because in the Baptist church, women don't preach. You do everything else, but you don't preach. So I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I can't do it." And He said, "You told me You would." And so he preached me my first sermon from Genesis to Revelation. He gave me scripture and verse. And He told me that I was neither male nor female in His sight, that I was spirit. And He said to me, I was trying to deal with the Lord. I was trying to bargain with Him. You know, we try to talk the Lord out of things. And I said, "Lord, let Jim preach, and I'll stand in the background and pray for him." And that sounded good to me. I mean, that was okay, you know. And he said to me, and he gave me scripture for it, he said that Jim would answer to him for what he had called him to do, that I would answer to him, to the Lord, for what he called me to do. And he said, "The gifts and callings of God are without repentance." He said, "I've called you, and you promised to obey me." So I tried my best to do it. For a long time, when I got in the pulpit, I'd really be under that condemnation of being a woman. But you know what? My God is more than enough. And I make no excuses. So if any of y'all have any problem with me being a woman up here tonight, you talk to the Father.
Amen.
And He'll set you straight. Praise the Lord. I'm going to share tonight on angels. I preached once before over here on angels a good long while ago. The Lord had given me this. We, in deliverance, as Jim said, we're a deliverance church. We learned a long time ago that the angels were ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. And I praise the Lord for them. But I'm learning more and more. And I was thinking last night when Brother Jack was preaching and talking about us walking into the light. I thought, Lord, when we walk in, we're going to be so surprised at all that you had for us that we could have used here in the other side, that we were too spiritual to believe. We're so religious. We've got so many religious teachings in us that it's hard for the Spirit of the Lord to get through to us. But when you're in deliverance, and a lot of you are, some of you may not know anything at all about deliverance. I don't know. But when you're in deliverance, you praise the Lord for the angels. And so the Lord taught us a good long while ago that the angels were there to help us in the area of deliverance. Some people don't believe in demons manifesting. We do. And we have battles with them. You say, why you do that? Simply because we're not after these little nitty-gritty demons that are so easy to get at. The Lord showed me, and I can't preach without preaching about deliverance, because that's where my heart is. This is to help people get free. But the Lord was showing me that deliverance is like peeling an onion. You take layer upon layer off of an onion. You peel it, and then you begin to, take a layer off, and then you take another layer off. And that's the way deliverance is. And I don't remember who talked about it. I think it was Kyle this morning talking about the root cause of problems. Most of the time, we just get the surface stuff. You know, I keep my own yard. I have a riding mower in a big yard. I also have a push mower. I have to use both of them to cut it. And I go up and cut my grass, cut the top off of it. And, you know, it just looks like it springs back up, and I got to go do it again. And what that got to do with deliverance, if you don't get the root cause out, then your problems just pop right back up. I deal with women mostly, because if I pray for a man, usually Jim and I pray together, he prays and maybe I'll be praying with him if I'm there. Most of the time it's just women. I do teach men. I teach a class on Friday night in Memphis. It's about 100 to 150 men. Most of them are black. And I praise the Lord. I just love them. They're street people. They're rejects. And I tell them all the time, you listen to me. And they call me Mom. Most of them do. And I said, listen to me. Get rid of this garbage that's in you. And well, I'm okay. You know, they come in off the street. They've been in the gutter. They've done everything they're big enough to do. And when they get saved, they say they're okay. And all this old garbage is still in them and on them and around them. And you have to convince them that they need deliverance, just like everybody else. When they have a problem, they try to cover it up, and they don't want anyone to know about it. I was telling Doc this afternoon, he must have got all the men delivered in his services. I didn't see a man get deliverance this afternoon. I was so angry, I wanted to scoop them, shake them. I said, turn them loose and let them come out. But we believe in whatever it takes to get them out. If they scream, kick, and holler, we don't run. We just call for God's angels to come and hold them down. We call them out. It's the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God. Jesus cast out demons with His Word. And we use the Word to cast out spirits. But if they want to manifest and come forth, and sometimes in discerning, I don't know what the name of a spirit is. Well, I may need to know how it got in there, and I may need to know its name. So don't run. Don't be afraid if somebody screams and hollers next to you when a spirit manifests. And by the way, I'm not planning on doing deliverance tonight, so don't get on the edge of your seat. I'm not planning it. I don't know what the Lord's planning. Praise the Lord. But you know, we're really so religious that when we hear something different, our first thought is, and I always tell those guys down there, you say, what rock did she come out from under? Or where did she drop in from? I've never heard some of the things she says. Well, they haven't. And when I went down and told them the fragmented soul and their soul was being stolen, some of them don't even have very little of their soul. Man, they sat there and looked at me like, I really wonder where you came from. But you see, And I'll just throw this out before. I'm going to get to angels. Just don't be patient. If you want to go there before me, go ahead. But you see, a lot of people can't remember things. They have problems remembering. And they think, well, I'm just getting old. And that's what we've been taught. You know, signs of old age. Well, my Bible tells me Moses was 120 years old, and his natural strength was not abated, and his eyesight was not dim. My Bible also tells me that God is no respecter of persons. So I remind the Lord of it. He says, come and let us reason together. And he says, put me in remembrance of my word. Well, he knows it. He knows his word. But I say, Father, you said that Moses was 120 years old. Now, you said you are no respecter of persons, and if you don't treat me like that, if I can't walk in that, then you're a respecter of persons. I just talk to him and remind him of what the word says. So I'm telling you tonight that if you have trouble remembering and you can't remember things that you used to and you're saying to yourself, well, I'm getting old. Well, the physical body may be getting old, but the word says the spirit man's renewed day by day. And the word says that but you have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ, why do we not remember? And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I was asking the Lord about this one time, and we had talked about soul ties. You know, we have soul ties. If somebody's pierced your ears, you get a soul tie. I'm going to shoot my scatter load. I don't get to shoot but once tonight. I'm going to tell you a little bit of everything that the Lord brings to me, okay? I'm going home in the morning, so y'all can't even argue with me. But everything that's in the Word is for us when we obey it and walk in it. And so when I was talking to the Lord about it, and I've heard about soul ties, and I've taught on it, and I've had been breaking soul ties, and I was, some of you have heard this, so don't get bored, listen to it. You may hear something you didn't hear the first time. But I was ministering to this girl in our church, and I couldn't seem to get her saved. She was out of the church. She came out of the Baptist church, been in all of her life. Her mother was in our church, and her mother and she both were, her mother was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But we couldn't get this girl saved. She kept telling me, she would say, I'm saved. I believe in God. I believe in God. And I had prayed and prayed and prayed, and I said, Lord, I don't understand why I can't get... She never could retain anything that we would talk to her about. And I'd say, Lord, I can't understand what's wrong with her. And one day the Lord said to me, she doesn't have her soul. She was 30, she's 30-something years old, and born in a church. You know, God don't have any grandchildren. And she was going under the assumption because she was in the church and that her mother was a Christian, and she'd been in church all her life. She was born again, but she wasn't. And when she couldn't understand it, she couldn't receive it. And so I said to the Lord, well, I never heard of that before. And he gave me the Psalms, a scripture in Psalm 7:2. Well, he had already given me Psalms 23:3. Don't you all, everybody here knows what the 23rd Psalm is, don't you? He says, he restoreth my soul. And I always thought, well, you know, when I got saved, then that was it. And I never really knew what he restoreth meant. So I got into the concordance and looked it up, and it said brings back, returns. The soul is returned, brought back, and put back where it's supposed to be. And Psalm 7:2 says that while we were, before we really came to the Lord, this is my interpretation of it, you can read it sometimes, that the enemy came around and fragmented the soul, stole it, while there was none to deliver. Before you came to the Lord, the devil had free reign over your soul. And when you got saved, you thought, well, I got it all. You see, we are so religious, we won't receive this. And so I began to say to the Lord, Lord, I want my soul back. Restore all of mine. And then we began to call this girl's soul back. And she got saved. And I had a demon in her tell me, you say, you talk to the demon? Yeah, I learn a lot sometimes. Sometimes they lie a lot too. But he told me, he said, we almost had her. Said she hadn't come to this blankety-blank church, she'd been ours. Said we had most of her soul, she had very little of it left. And said, every time you prayed for her, you were getting more and more of her soul back. And said, we hate it too. So you see, we get religious sometimes and we miss a lot of things God wants to give us. So if you're having trouble remembering, this doesn't cost you any extra tonight, call, ask the Father to bring back the part of your soul where your memory is. In your soul is your mind, your will and emotion, your ability, your appetite, and all this. Well, see, when I pray for the Lord to restore the soul, God knows where every piece of it is. You say, well, I got my soul. Well, good. Praise the Lord. If you've got all of your soul, and I hear people say this, and they think I'm crazy when I say it, but I say if you've got all your soul, you should be walking where Adam was walking in the Garden of Eden with the smart that he had. The brother back there taught on Satanism the other night. He was talking about and it's Satanism that's in charge of all the things that's going on in this world. And people, you sit here and listen to it, but you don't believe that the devil can attack you. And yet he's working all over this world. Don't you know the devil wants your soul? So, and every time he takes a piece of it, he can put something in there to control you so the devil can control you at will. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm blood-bought. Well, how much of it did you have before you came to the Lord? And what did he put in its place when he took it out? I'm just asking. And you know, I always tell people this, and I'll say this. God didn't tell me to make you believe it. He told me to give it. He gives it to me, and he says, you preach it, and it's not up to you. The Holy Spirit convicts people. But you preach it, and if they reject it, that's between them and me. But he said, you preach it. He gave me Ezekiel and said, their blood won't be on your hands, so I'm going to tell you what you do with this between you and the Lord. But I want you to know there's so much. I want to walk where Brother Jack was talking about last night. Yeah. And ever since I've been saved, I believe there was a place that I could walk there. And I want everything that it takes for me to get in that place. And I will walk into life. Yeah. Amen. And while I'm here on my way there, I'm going to use everything that God has allowed me to have, everything that he's put here on this earth, to help me to reach that place. And I praise the Lord for the angels. I've had people say, when I was in a Baptist church, they said the angels couldn't preach the gospel. Well, the best way I understand my Bible, the first gospel that was preached by an angel before Jesus was born and after the resurrection. If you read it. So we have people say, we don't need the angels. We're not going to talk about the angels. We don't need the angels. God knows what we need. He'll send them. We've got the Holy Spirit. Well, let me ask you something. Are you more spiritual and more knowledgeable than Paul? Paul received a message from an angel on the ship. Peter was freed from prison by an angel. The angels, and the word says the angels are ministering spirits, and we're not fighting flesh and blood in this warfare that we're in, this satanic thing that we're in, but we're fighting spiritual war. We're fighting principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And this is what the Lord said to me when I backed off. I taught on angels over here one time and had another preacher get up right behind me and undo everything I said. I'm telling you this because I was so mad I could have punched him out. I was. I knew what was in me because that anger came up. And the reason it did, I said, Lord, I have experienced the things that I've shared. And this man is telling me I can't have it. Not only I know better, but I said there's a lot of people here that could believe and receive and walk in this, but he undid it. Now, I know that the angels are God's messengers. I know, but you know, and my title of my sermon tonight is our covenant with the Lord. In the New Testament, I've got two here. I won't use them both. They're too long. But the other one is in the... Our covenant rights to use angels in the New Testament, and I had another one, the angels that was used under the Old Covenant. We have a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to share with you some of my scriptures. I was telling when I was sharing this the other night when we first started, I was talking up here, and the Lord reminded me that the first night about doing deliverance one morning, and as I had been doing this study on angels, and as I was doing deliverance, this demon was smarting off at me, and I told him shut up. I bound his mouth and told him shut up in the name of Jesus. And as I was praying, I was sitting in the back of the church with this lady. Confusion was just really bad, and she couldn't think straight. She said she had a real bad week. And as I was praying, I was binding and calling that spirit of confusion out. And the Lord just dropped it in my spirit, said, call for the delivering angels. And I said, Father, send your delivering angels to throw this thing out. It wasn't me that did it. The Spirit of the Lord gave it to me, and I spoke it. And I just continued calling the demon out of the girl, and all of a sudden she grabbed her throat, and the demon in her was saying, I'm choking. Those stupid angels are choking me. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. See, the Lord just confirmed his word through that spirit that was in the girl. People said, give me chapter and verse, please. What did Brother Jack say last night? He had a lot of things that God had given him that wasn't in the word. But then I began to find it in the scripture. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms 34 and verse 7. We just got this one I want to use right now. But Psalms 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Those that fear God, that know who God is and believe his word. So I wanted to start off with that tonight. That was the one someone asked me after I made that statement. I had a couple of girls come to me and said, we want the scripture for it. And I said, well, right at the moment, I can't think where it is. Let me see. And so I went back home after services that night, and the Lord brought this one to me, and then I had a couple more, but I'm not going to give them to you right now. But I do want to begin tonight really on the covenant over in Galatians in chapter 3. Brother Glenn talked on it this afternoon, but I want to just start with this. And it goes back to exactly what he said this afternoon, Galatians 3. In verse 13, where it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, been made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. And after Abraham and his seed was the promise made, he says, not and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. He made a covenant. God, when Jesus hung upon the tree, upon the cross, he was talking about the tree this afternoon, and he died for all of us, and all that he did was for every one of us. Salvation was ours, is ours. Everything Jesus Christ did on that cross was for you and I, and we only get it as we were willing to receive it. I preached a sermon not too long ago on the reason no one gets anything that they pray for is that they pray for it, but they don't receive it. And that's what I was telling Tommy this morning. We were praying for people, and I watched people's face, and I knew they were not receiving their healing as God was doing it. We have to receive what Jesus did for us, and we have a covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ, that everything that God has made and created over in Genesis, we heard it this today sometime. You know, these days kind of run into each other here. I forget who says what because the days kind of get long. But in Genesis, I think it was Kyle this morning, the dominion that God gave Adam, Jesus restored it.
Amen.
Through the covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave us dominion over the works of his hands. And angels are created beings that are in the works of God's hands, as you and I are. And you can't call upon an angel just because you want to call upon one, but they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation in a time of your need. And yet we say, well, I don't believe that. To give you an illustration that I read in a book not too long ago, someone gave me a book, and I don't know who gave it to me, but the Lord knows, and I praise the Lord for it. And I was reading it, and it was on, in fact, when I got it, I thought it was on the occult. I didn't read it. I just looked at the front of it, and I threw it down. I thought, I'll look at that, and I get home. I got home, and I looked at it, and I saw it wasn't on the occult. It was on, it says, The War Beyond the Stars. And I don't know why I thought it was the occult, but after I looked at it, I saw that it wasn't. But in this book, this individual was writing this, and he said that Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, and anybody that knows Kenneth Hagin's ministry knows the Lord appeared to him many times. And he was talking about that Jesus appeared to him one time, and this is just how religious we are. And I just related to it so much that this is the way we are. That Jesus appeared to Hagin, and as he was, when he came to him this one time, there was a great big angel with him. And he said, Jesus would talk to him, and every once in a while that angel would try to say something. But Hagin wouldn't look at the angel. He kept looking at Jesus. And finally, when Jesus got through, Jesus told Hagin, says, this angel, I don't remember how he said it, has a message for you. And his old religious spirit raised up in him and said, you're here, you talk to me. You didn't say I had to receive from angels. And he said to him, he has come from the presence of Almighty God with a message to you. And then he quoted some of the scriptures where the scripture said that the angel came from God. And of course, Hagin repented and received the message, and I don't remember what it was. It was a warning to him about something. But I thought about that, and I thought, Lord, if your angels came to us with a message, we'd rebuke them first of all, say, get out of here, you devil. Because we don't believe in them. And people said, now you're preaching, so people begin to worship them. I am not. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and we serve him. But the angels of the Lord, they're ministering spirits. Those angels were created not only for God, but for his people. If we knew how many there were, and how many God would, if we'd ask for the Lord to send them, that he would send in the area to minister to us and help us. You cannot fight a demon with your hand. Woman at church one time, I said, well, we'll get on telltales. I do this because it helps me understand. She used to say, I just hate the devil. I just like to get my hands on him and do this to him. And I'd say, Joyce, hating the devil, that he's not afraid of it. And you get your hands on him, you can't. I said, that what you're going to fight that devil with is the Word of God and the power of the Spirit. And see, and we also need the angels of the Lord, the warriors. You know, the devil loses his powers against us. We need God's power, his protection. What do you think that hedge around Job was? You think it was just a green hedge? And you know, I had to repent because years ago the Lord showed me one of the first visions I ever had from the Lord was angels. And he showed me my protection. He showed me the hedge around me. I was standing and I was fighting and I was quoting the Word of God against the enemy. And all around me was angels. And they were warriors and they were dressed with tunics and had great big shields and swords. And they made a complete hedge around me like this. And on the outside of that hedge were demons. I mean, lots and lots of demons coming at me. And they couldn't get to me. And then all of a sudden, I saw the shields go down. And the demons were running across the angels and coming at me. And I was saying, Lord, what is that? What happened? He said, because you let your faith down, you quit believing. He said, and when you stop believing, then the angels drop their shields and the enemy can attack you. And I had totally forgotten it. I shared it lots at the very beginning when I received it. But then the Lord brought it back to me. He said, he even showed me from the very beginning that we have protection in angels. When he puts you in a warfare, in spiritual warfare, when you are called into deliverance, you better know you've got some angels protecting you and standing guard. And we have this covenant with Jesus Christ, which is a better covenant than the one that Abraham had. There's a scripture over in Acts 7, I was looking at this the other day, and verse 51, I believe it's what it, 51 said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you." And then they're going to say, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed them before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayer and murderer, who have received the law, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it." He said the law was given, sent forth not only with the prophets and the prophets, but angels. Angels come with messages, and we said we're afraid. We're so fearful. We've been taught that we don't do this. You're worshiping angels when you talk about them. I don't talk about angels in the natural, just when I'm doing my daily walk with the Lord. But I'm telling you, I praise God that the angels are there. Amen. Because I hear them. I can hear them around my house at times, doing battle for me. And I tell you, I hear them. I know they're doing battle. He said, "Explain it. Why do you need the angels? Because of the forces of darkness that attack. We hear them. We hear them coming. People become fearful sometimes when I share this. But in deliverance, because of the ministry we're in, and because of the type of warfare we're in, the demonic forces attacked our house and attacked. I raised roses. And do you know that I have to continually break curses off of my yard and off my flowers, that the witches and the Satanists know where we are? When we go home from over here, we will have to go in and take oil and break curses from around our house. We find the curses, the hexes and things they do in our yard. In one of my flower beds, we found a sack of bones and meat and stuff. And it had been hidden. They dug in my flower bed and covered over with mulch. And he was watering the flowers and the paper that it was in, red paper, that became, he saw the corner of it and he pulled it out, and there it was, right at the end of our bedroom. We go into our flower beds and we find them, our roses. We have quite a few roses, and we have to watch for them. We are not fighting flesh and blood. These people that come do this are flesh and blood, but they're Satanists and they're witches, and they know we live on the highway. They know where we live. They know about our church. And we have had to fight them. We know that without God's protection, I used to get calls during the night from a witch. And she'd tell me to call my angels off. She said, "You get your blankety blank angels off." I said, "I'm sick and tired of them attacking me." I said, "Well, then you should leave me alone." Now, I don't see the angels. I don't see them, but I know they're there. Haven't we had them? We've had calls time and time again in the middle of the night from the witches, and they would get so mad, said, "I don't know what you're doing, but you stop that." And so I'm telling you that we have weapons that we don't use. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Your weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go on. I want you to look at your covenant again. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 7. Am I boring you?
No. You didn't explain it.
What did I not explain?
She said she saw what she saw. I go to bed at night and I walk by and I cut off the TV. The last thing I do, we get the news before we go to bed, and I cut that TV off and I take two steps and it pops back on. The TV will come on all by itself. There's doors in our house that open and close by themselves. They open very quietly, but they slam shut. You hear knocks on the wall. And we have come to determine that they're not the demons beating on the wall. It is the angels fighting the demons that are attacking the house. That's what we have determined, because we don't have to go after them any longer. We don't have to bind those demons off of our house anymore. You hear him walk up the stairs. I have one finished room upstairs. We don't even use the upstairs of my house. I have a finished and an unfinished room and stairway up. And you hear them walk up the stairs. And there's nobody in my house but my wife and myself, and we're sitting looking at each other. And you hear the steps creak as they go up the stairs, and you hear them walk, sounds of walking across the floor. Ghosts, I don't believe in ghosts. I believe in demons, but not ghosts. And these are the things that she's talking about that we hear and see in our house. And the angels always take care of it. We've got to the point we don't even bother to do spiritual warfare against them when we hear these things now. So that we know that the angels are there. We have determined through the Word of God and seen the results of what is happening in around our house. See, when you're in a deliverance ministry, you're under special attack. And the devil got your name tonight if you're here for the first time. He might not have had it before, but he got it tonight. All you have to do is sit in a deliverance service. You become a threat to him. I had to put that out there. But don't worry about it. You have your angels.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's go on. I want you to know that we have authority. God's given us authority over the works of his hand. Angels are God's messengers, okay? But we have a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And over in Hebrews in the 7th chapter, it said, verse 22, says, so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. And then under the old covenant, in the Old Testament, it tells us of all the blessings that are God given unto us from God, as Abraham's blessings are ours, and that's what I read over there under in Galatians 3, that the blessings of Abraham's is ours. And as we look at this and as we begin to think about the need, you say, well, maybe I don't need angels. You know, I'm not in warfare. Do you have kids? Do you have children? Do you have grandchildren? Well, you need to know that you can call for the angels of the Lord to protect your children. Call, ask the Father to... My husband goes to work every morning. We live on a real dangerous highway. It's really bad since everybody in Memphis has moved out into the country, past us up into Tipton County, and the traffic is terrible. And as he leaves, I always pray and ask Father to put angels around him. I said, Father, I should put angels around him that no harm will come to him nor his car as he goes to work. And I pray the same prayer over my children and my grandchildren. I ask the Father to put angels around them for the day that no harm can come to them. If you have children, you need to pray this for your children every day. And you need to ask the Father to put angels there to see that no one comes up and tries to give them drugs. You need to ask the Father to put the angels there to keep... Listen, I say it, this is the way I pray it. Father, if someone comes up to harm my children or my grandchildren... My children are adults. They can do their own praying, but I still pray for them because they don't have... They don't have. They trust. They call me, the Father and Mother, do it for them. But I want them protected. But I ask the Father to say, if any harm tries to come upon them, let them see the angels. Remember over in the Old Testament where Elisha prayed and asked God to open the eyes of his servant that he might see the angels encamped around about him. Listen, when Elisha's servant said, there's more of us than there are of them, and there was men and chariots everywhere that were coming in to attack them. And I can just imagine that his servant looked at him and said, don't you see all those people out there? And you say there's more of us than there are of them? One, two, more of us? And he prayed, and he said, God, open his eyes and let him see. So you see, it's in the Word. And I said, Father, open the eyes of anyone that's trying to do harm to them and let them see your protection around them. I do that for myself. If I'm out by myself and I feel some presence around me that a person, I mean, they got bodies. I see these, but I'm uncomfortable about them. And I'll say, Father, let them see my protection. We need to believe that we can do this and ask God to do it and that it works. And I firmly believe that it does. I firmly believe that it does. The Lord is... Praise the Lord. But I want you to know we have a covenant with the Lord. And we need to stand upon it. We need to believe it. And we need to walk in it. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6 says, now hath he obtained a more excellent minister, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. I don't know what demons are. I don't believe that every demon is an angel. I do not believe that. I do not believe that. Because there's different echelons of power in the Satan's army as well as in God's. I was in this book I was telling you about, I was reading. Let me tell you something. This blessed me. This man was telling about this Jewish rabbi that his friend was a charismatic Christian that had come to, a preacher had come to visit him, and he brought another man with him. And so while the Jewish rabbi and his charismatic preacher friend was talking, this other man was back away from them, and he was praying in tongues. And he was just praying in tongues and just really got kind of loud over there. And the Jewish rabbi said to him, to the man, said, where did he learn to speak such fluent Hebrew? And the man said, well, he can't speak Hebrew. Said he's not even an educated man. He's just praying in tongues. He said, oh, you're wrong. Said he is speaking fluent Hebrew. And said, do you know what he's doing? And he said, no, I don't know. I don't understand Hebrew. He said, well, he is calling upon God's angels, calling them by name, and dispatching them, sending them forth to different countries to do work for the Lord. So you never know when you're praying in tongues whether you're sending angels out to do work or not. But I thought about that, and I thought, oh, boy, let's pray more. We really need to, because, listen, in this day and time, we need to do warfare and fight against the principalities and powers. And you don't know, but the Holy Spirit in you knows when there's a need for some help somewheres. And we need to believe that when we're praying in the Spirit, in tongues, that God is dispatching His angels. Or whatever is needed. He's sending forth whatever the need is at that moment. And that really blessed me. And I thought, praise the Lord that we do have this covenant, that we can pray in the Spirit, that we can believe that God has given us authority and power, and that we will walk in it, and we will do according to what the Word of God has said that we have, and not be afraid. You know the thing that I say, a lot of times when I'm in deliverance, I don't like up here, I like down there where I walk. When I'm doing deliverance and I'm praying, God drops things in my spirit to do. And I say it, okay, I'll say it, and then later on I'll think, see, my religion goes to acting up. And I'll say, I don't know where that is in Scripture. But see, the Holy Spirit in me knows the need at that time, and as I'm believing Him and doing it and standing on the Word and doing the... I always tell the Lord, I was sitting there tonight and I was saying, Lord, see, I didn't know I was going to do this till 5 o'clock this afternoon. And I said, Lord, you don't really want me to get up there and do that tonight, do you? And so I said to Him, okay, I'll do it. But you've got to do it. You know that, Lord. You know what you got to work with. And that's what I always sit down and think when I go to pray for someone or sit down. Lord, you know what you've got to work with, and you know what the need is. You see, in myself, I cannot do anything. But with God in me, the Spirit of the Lord in me, and with His Word in me, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. And we've got to know that. We've got to believe it. So many times, I'll say it this way. When I go to the mission... You know, we have learned a long time ago that when people come in off the street, they easily pick up languages. They pick up the right phrases. You know, they'll come up, you got to get saved if you come to that mission. They work and work with you. If you look like you're hopeless and you're not going to get saved, well then, you know, they eventually leave because an unsaved person's not going to stay there anyways. But the men will pick up the language, and the first thing they'll say when you go in, and then at night they'll say, I say, how are you? I'm blessed. Bless God, I'm blessed. And I say, are you really? So I don't say it right then. I just ask them, if I say, are you really? And I say, well, praise the Lord. But when I go to preach, I say to them, you're blessed.
I'm blessed.
You are. You know you're blessed. They don't know what it means, but they've learned a language, and I want that a lot of the things we learn the right words, but we don't know what it means. We don't know it in our hearts. We say we know we have authority, we have power, but bless the Lord, if anything happens, we get shook to our heels. And we forget that we who we are and what God has given us. We learn the language before we learn what it means, and sometimes we never learn what it means. I get so angry when I see people playing with deliverance, and I'm going to call out everything in you tonight. Brother, you're going to be totally set free. That's against the Word of God. I don't find that in God's Word. And I hear people say, I don't need deliverance. God supernaturally set me free. I get so mad. I get so mad over that. And I'll tell you why. I got a son that said that. He was in supernaturally set free, he said. He walked with me in deliverance for 9 months. He saw real deliverance. He did real deliverance, but he wouldn't get any deliverance. And he left the house, and he went to Christ for the Nations. He stayed there 3 years. He learned their language. Bless God, he learned the language. Then he got into the mission. But before he got into the mission, he spent 2 years in Texas doing God knows what. He called me every weekend. I'm telling you, people learn the language, but they don't learn the Lord. They don't know my God. They don't serve the Lord that I serve. I'm talking about my son. I love him dearly, and I was wanting to believe the best, but my heart and the spirit in me was telling me about it, and I could see it in his eyes. I don't know what he did for 2 years. He came back home and moved into Millington. I'm telling you this to tell you that you can learn the language and still not know the you can learn the 23rd Psalm but not know the author.
That's right.
And he came back home and he told me, he said, I'm going to go into the mission and I'm going to work in the mission with the men. They want me to work and organize it. And I looked at him and I said, son, don't do it. You need help. You need deliverance. You need to get your life cleaned up. Oh, mother, I'm fine. I've been to Bible school. I'm not putting it down. I'm telling you what he told me, and it just broke my heart. He sat there in my house, and I saw a spirit that I knew was on him. It's a demon that I know as a name of Pyrox. I don't know whether you've ever heard it or not. Doesn't matter. But I know him. My son's eyes were budged out, sticking out. I mean, bulged. Thank you. And I said, son, you need to get your life cleaned up. Don't go in the mission until the first of the year. This was in October. I said, you need to get deliverance. You need to get free from that thing. That thing is a ruler over 16 personalities. He even lied to me about it. He says, okay, I'll do that. I'm telling you, if you don't know the author of the psalm, you don't know Jesus Christ. He said, I'll wait till January. 3 days later, he was already in the mission, and he worked in the mission for 9 months or a year, 15 months, I don't remember. He slept he had an apartment in the mission there, and he took care of it and ran it and talked to the guys about Jesus, I guess. I mean, I preached to them 3 times a week. We preached to them 3 times a week down there ourselves, taught them the word, but he would never sit in the services. And so I said, well, you know, Mom and Daddy, I don't blame him. You know how, you know, kids don't want to, he's no kid. He's 50, be 50 in March. Excuse me. Next March. But he wouldn't sit in our ministry. And today, tell you what's happened to him. He's in Tampa, Florida. He's left the mission. He's drinking again. And I don't know what else. That spirit took him back over. That demon was there. The thing I said, he had 16 personalities. I ministered this to a girl. I know what it is. And my son had a personality that he could, that would manifest, and he would please whoever he would be, whatever, whoever he was with. If you didn't walk with the Lord, well, he could be that. If you wanted to make money, he knew how to do that. And these personalities would just change, just flip. And I'm telling you, just because you know about something doesn't mean you know it. And see, we say we know our authority, that we know the power of God. We know what God's given us under the new covenant. He's given us a covenant through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the works of his hands, he said over in Isaiah, he says, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. Now, what he's saying, he's not saying, you command God to do something. That's not what he's saying. He said, according to the works of his hands, we have the right to say, Father, your angels are spirits that we need to help us in this area. And you said we have authority. He said he's given us authority. He's given us the Holy Spirit. I've had one man in our church. He's 80-something years old. I'm pushing, getting up there close myself. And he said, every time I quote that scripture, he says, you commanding God. I said, that's not what it says. He said, the works of his hands. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be guilty of trying to believe God for too much than not believe him for enough. And we live like paupers. When God says, hey, the wealth in every mine is his, the cattle on every hill belongs to him. And he says, if you have a need, why don't you seek me and believe for it and then receive it? Well, I'm just so foregone that I believe that when it rains so hard and storms come, that I have authority to command it not to come into my yard and to destroy my house. I've seen God part the water. I mean, couldn't see. I saw that with my own eyes. He parted the Red Sea for Moses. And I said, Lord, I can't see, and I got to get home. And I saw the water. It rained so hard on either side of my car, and I drove home. And I just believed the Lord would do it because I asked him to. And he's no respecter of persons. He says, I've given you power and authority. He says, and I've given you much. But he wants us to believe we have it, and you ask him for it. Amen. When there's a need, believe he's going to meet it. I said, Lord, we pray, but we don't believe he's going to do what we ask him to. You say, well, I do. Praise the Lord. But we pray. We need to pray and say, Lord, it's mine because you said it. He's given it unto us because we have a need. I tell the Lord this. Now, Lord, I'm obeying you to the best of my ability. I know I mess up, but you forgive me. I know that. Now, I'm not going to go around condemning myself. When God convicts me, I repent. And a lot of times I repent quickly before the Lord says anything to me because I don't have an open door, especially with this. I get mad. I was sitting at the table the other day and got mad at the devil because of what he's trying to do. Let me get back on the demon, okay, of getting people out, delivered. My son said he was delivered, and he wasn't. When we think we've gotten a little bit of deliverance, or maybe a whole lot of deliverance, that we're totally delivered, you're not. God will give you as much deliverance as you can walk in. You get it. You get delivered today. You get into the Word and you read the Word and you fill up. Ask the Lord to give the list within you. That's the Lord. We ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Ghost. I ask the Lord to fill. When we get through in our church at night, I say, raise your hands. We're going to ask the Lord to fill us. And I say, Lord, fill us with the seven spirits of the Lord. Fill us with the Spirit of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. If you've got fear of God in you, you're not going to go out and do something to open the door to let those things come back in. Amen. And you need the fear of God in you. There is no fear if you're out doing things you know you shouldn't do. When we fear God, we won't do those things. And I say, Father, give them a spirit of counsel, a spirit of might, a spirit of understanding, a spirit of knowledge, a spirit of wisdom, and the mind of Christ. And put a hunger in them for the Word of God. I talk deliverance all the time, but let me tell you something. Without the Word, without the Spirit, and walking with Jesus, you don't even want to ask for it. You will go out and get seven worse than the first. And people say, well, God doesn't, I'm saved, I don't have demons. Let me tell you something. God won't deliver an unsaved person. What good would it do? If we got an unsaved, a lost person delivered, we would be doing him an injustice. He would have no protection, because when you have the Holy Ghost within you, when you're saved and the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have protection. You have knowledge, and you need to ask the Lord to quicken to you. You need to, when you get deliverance, you don't need to go out of here and party. And I'm saying party or cut up and go. You need to go feed yourself. Now, I don't mean food either. You need to get into the Word and read. See, we don't do what we need to do. If we would, we could hold our deliverance, and then the next time we went to get deliverance, we wouldn't have to cast out the same spirits again. We need to get into the Word. We need to fill up on it. We need to know what the Word says. You said, well, I study the Word. Or do you read it? Irma was talking about this morning, this afternoon. Or do you read it and then don't know what you're reading? You need to say, Lord, open my understanding to this Word. Reveal to me what you're saying to me. This book is written to me. So you reveal to me what it's saying to me. One of the brothers asked me when I first came in about preaching, I said, I'm going to get you good. And I didn't mean it. So y'all forgive me if I'm hard. I don't mean to sound hard. But I want you to know God wants us to believe Him and to walk in it, His Word, and to obey Him and to praise Him and to love Him. We have to love the Lord our God, and the devil's doing everything he can to keep us from it. Let's go over to, I've quoted Hebrews 4, 1, 12. Let's go over and read it, okay? Hebrews 1, verse 14. What I said. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You remember when Jesus was taken in the garden when they came and got him and took him to the cross. Remember what he said? He said, I could have called 12 legions of angels. He told Peter to put up the sword. Remember? And people say, when I tell people that, they say, well, that was Jesus. What does the Word say? Everything he did for us. Everything he did. He came and he was showing us how to walk. He was showing us how to live. He was showing us all that he had come to do. And he said he could have called 12 legions of angels. I forget how many a legion is, but it doesn't matter. There's a lot of 6,000. He could have called them. So he says here, they're ministering spirits, and they're sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. You know, I was taught for so long that I got saved. I didn't even, you know, the Holy Spirit was of the devil. You know, if you talk in tongues, you're of the devil. And I had everything I needed when I got saved. But, man, I was in bad shape. I was going to have to sit down on that pew and struggle to make it to heaven. I mean, to be sure I got there, I had to keep sitting there and keep listening to the sermons over and over again on salvation. But they weren't telling me how to live, how to keep. I would go to church. I'm telling you this to tell you that we can only receive what we're hungry and thirst for. If you're hungry and thirsting for knowledge, God will give it to you. And you don't run to an unbelieving preacher. And forgive me, it's the truth. You don't go to a preacher and ask him about baptism and the Holy Spirit, one that doesn't believe in it. Because I went to one, and I asked him, I'm telling you my experience. I went to one, I asked him about 1 Corinthians 14:2. Says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. And he kept telling me, you know, that's passed away. You don't need it today. And I said, but what does this mean? If I don't need it, why is it here? He said, oh, that's all passed away. It passed away when the last apostle died. And he was saying, you got to go witness. I worked in the bus ministry. I went witnessing twice a week. I worked in the bus ministry. I was a hostess of church. Taught Sunday school. I did everything I knew to do. And I'd go home and I'd say, Lord, where are you? Where are you? I've been to church. But where were you? And he said, they that hunger and thirst, and those that seek shall find. And so I'm telling you tonight, if you say, well, I'm saved and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, so I don't have to worry about anything else. I believe that we're going to have to ask for a lot of protection in the days to come. I believe, yeah, right, these days is right. But I've been telling people for a long time, we're in a war. We're in a battle. We're in God's army. Glenn shares on the intercessor. To intercede, you have to fight. An intercessor is doing spiritual warfare, but you have to fight even to get into prayer sometimes because the enemy tries to keep you out of it. And you need to know all that God's given unto you. And it is under the covenant. Everything, the Word says that we have a covenant, a better covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ than had in the Old Testament. And I'm probably boring you, so I'm going to begin to cut this short. But I want you to know that when Paul was on the ship, there was an angel sent to him over in Acts 27. And I want you to know, if God had to send an angel to Paul, who wrote a lot of this Bible by the Spirit, you see, we said, we've got the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. I want to ask you something. Do you always hear the Holy Spirit? And then when you hear him, do you always obey? Do you hear the Lord like you want to? Sometimes we're so deaf, God may need to send an angel, a messenger to talk to us. I just say, Lord, talk to me the way you know I understand and the way I can hear. But we know that Paul, that God talked to Paul. And in Acts 27 and verse 23, Paul said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." And when people say, "Well, I got the Holy Ghost, I don't need," and he tells me everything, and I thought, "Well, Lord, if I'm so dense, sometimes you can't get through to me, you know, whatever it takes." Yes, we have to be very careful. It was told after I told this before, be careful you get an evil angel. Well, you know what? Sometimes I don't have time to go through all the scriptures to ask for the angels of the Lord. But God knows when I'm calling, I'm believing for God's angels. And I'll tell you one thing. I believe when I ask that God sends. And yes, you do. If you're saying, Lord, see, the angels are not used as just any way you want to. They're used in battle. They're used when there's a need. God will send them. God will send them if you ask. The people were praying for Peter. Peter was in prison. And the Lord sent an angel and let him out. This is the way we believe. The people were praying for God to deliver Peter. And he did. And when Peter stood at the door, they didn't believe it was him. And that's the way we are. We say, Lord, help. And he sends us help. And we don't believe it. And yet the angel brought Peter out of the prison. Daniel was praying. Now, this is a scripture that I want you to look at. I want us to look at. Daniel was praying. And God sent the angel because of his prayer. And they tell me I can't pray and ask for angels. I tell you, the Lord's good. He always gives me a scripture to show me I can. Of course, I'd already been doing it, and I said, Lord, show it to me in the Word. Over in Daniel, let's see where that scripture is. Chapter 10, verse 10. Daniel had been praying, and the scripture says, "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palm of my hand, And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my hands and upon the palms, upon my knees, upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for lo, the For unto thee am I sent, now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come because of thy words." Now, that's under the old covenant. But God sent the angel to Daniel because he prayed. And if God did it for Daniel, I was reading over there the other day when I was doing this study in Daniel chapter 3, when Daniel was in the Hebrew children were in the fire furnace, it said, and lo, one like Nebuchadnezzar said, one like unto the Son of God was there. And I read a little further down, and it said, Nebuchadnezzar said, and God sent an angel into the fiery furnace. I just know that his word says that the angels are ministering spirit, and I want you to go to Psalms 103, and I want to give you another scripture, and to show you how you pray. Psalms 103, verse 20, says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments." The angels excel in strength, they do the commandments. Listen to the commandments of the Lord. Listen. It says, "Hearkening unto the voice of his word." The angels excel in strength. They are strong. We know that. they hearken unto God's word. And what you do when you're praying and when there is a need, I always, as I said, if I have time, I quote the scripture, reminding the Lord. He says, put me in remembrance of my word. And he says over in Jeremiah 1:12, he says, I hasten my word to perform it. God said that. That word hasten says watches over his word to perform it. And I said, Lord, you said. And so we need to know that angels are a weapon that we can call upon to do spiritual warfare. I call a lot of times upon the angels, the warrior angels, to come to minister, to do battle. When we're in the church sometimes at night, if we're doing deliverance, it's like a force sometimes comes at the church, and I just stop whatever I'm doing and pray and ask the Father to send warriors up over our church to drive off anything that's over the church that's attacking what's going on inside the church, and to do battle. So the Lord is telling us that His word is true. And of course, over in Revelation 12 and verse 7 through 9, we read about the war that was in heaven. And this is another one that we see the battle. I want to close with this one. I have a lot more scriptures, but I'm not going to give them tonight. But I want you to know that if you're in battle or I do this in traveling. When we start home in the morning, I will pray. Jim and I will pray and ask the Father to send angels ahead of us to cleanse the road, to destroy any trap that's been laid for us on our journey, any snare the devil has laid, and to protect us as we go. You see, we need to call on traveling angels to help us. We need to believe that we can do this and to go forth. In Revelation 12, verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. And when the war was in heaven, and the devil and a third of his angels was cast out, but guess how many it left? God's angels. How many of God's angels? If a third of them was cast out, there was a lot of them left. And so, I'm not telling you to worship angels, and I'm not telling you to dwell upon them. I'm telling you that you can call upon them when there's a need. And I tell you, you need to know that you, and that verse 11 of Revelation, we stand upon that. They overcame him. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And the blood of the Lamb is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my testimony is that I'm blood bought, I'm cleansed, I'm sanctified, I'm justified, and I'm made whole by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil has no part in me. And I tell him that all the time. We stand upon God's word. We walk in his word and his authority, and we use every weapon that God has given us. He has not saved us and set us down here to make it to heaven the best way we can. And we all know that. Most of us here know that. But in the meantime, there's going to be battles, and you need to know that you can overcome them because God has given you the authority to do it. And you have the authority, and you can stand upon it and walk in it. And the binding works when you bind. Lord woke me up one morning. I used to pray and say, Lord, I want the angels to bind that thing. And I have to, every once in a while, catch myself doing it again. And the Lord woke me up one morning. He said, I told you to bind. He said it to me three times. And I said, what? Oh, and the first time I said, what? Next time he said, I told you to, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? And he said, I didn't tell you to call upon angels to bind. I told you to bind. Now, you can call for the angels to take those demons away after you bind them, but you bind them. You're the one's got the authority to bind. And so you've got authority to bind forces of darkness and then call for the angels to come and remove them. Now, I'll close with this, I promise. We used to have a church in Brighton, Tennessee. We moved it to Millington because most of our people came from Memphis. And we had a man came to our church who was a prophet. Every once in a while he'd come. And he came in one time and he said, Mildred, what in the name of heaven's going on right here? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I have never seen so many bound demons in my life. He said, your church is all around your church are bound spirits. I said, well, we've been binding them. He said, well, why don't you send them somewhere? We didn't know where to send them. We just bound them. And he said, you need to get those things away. And I said, Lord, what are we supposed to do with them? I heard people say that they would go to the dry places. And I was afraid if they went to the dry places, they might come back. And I didn't want to deal with them. And I was really praying. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do with them. He said, send them to the bottomless pit, to Tartarus. And I just sent them to the pit. And people said, you can't do that because the demons told Jesus that he couldn't send them to send that it wasn't time. And so I asked the Lord about that. I said, Lord, the word said that when they confronted Jesus, that they said it wasn't time. And the Lord said, yeah, but Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. When Jesus went to the cross, then it was time. He defeated them and we could send them. And then I had people say, well, you can't do that. I always get somebody tell me I can't do that.
Always after we do it.
After I've been doing it. And the reason I know it works, let me tell you the reason I know it works, because I was casting the demon out one day, and he talked to me, and he said, listen, old woman, they're not very nice. You're not sending to me no blankety-blank pit. I said, oh, I beg your pardon, you are going. And I said, Father, would you send me two angels here and bring chains? When this thing comes out, I'm going to bind him. I want them to take him to the pit. And that thing started screaming and said, get those blankety-blank angels out of here, and you're not sending me down there. You sent my buddy there, but I'm not going. But he went. But you see, he went screaming all the way. But you see, he confirmed that the demons were going to the pit, and he told us that there was a place there that had our church's name on it for all those demons we'd been sitting out, and that the devil wasn't pleased at all. So I don't get my everything I do confirmed by spirits, demon spirits, but it sometimes it's funny when they tell you. But I know that when I called, I had forgotten until I shared that when we're doing deliverance and when in the church, I always call for angels with chains to take them to the pit and bind them in the pit until the day of judgment. And cleanse the church. I ask the Father to cleanse the church, to send angels in to cleanse my church so that there will be nothing left in it and that nothing will be loose to follow people home. You see, I learn by practice and experiencing it. And we have made a lot of mistakes and messed up a lot, but, you know, we get up, shake the dust off, and start all over again. But I praise the Lord for what he shows us in the area of warfare. And if you're gonna do deliverance, you really need to know about the angels. If I had time, I'd tell you about how we bound them on the floor, people on the floor, and they couldn't get up. I asked angels to hold them down on the floor, and they'd sit there and scream, and they couldn't get up even after we got through doing deliverance on them until we'd ask the Father to tell the angels to turn them loose and let them up. And it happened. So praise the Lord. The Lord is good. I hope I said something that might help you. But I'm so excited about this. I believe there's much, much more that God wants us to know about the weapons of our warfare. And if we'll turn our religion off and ask the Father to show us, you don't believe everything everybody says. Line it up with the Word. Get in there. Listen, don't take what I said about these angels. Get in there and do your own digging. See what God shows you. It's the Word of God that we stand upon, that we put our faith in and believe. God is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
You got anything you want to say? Pyrox.
Mm-hmm.
We delivered a lady from that. It was funny thing about it. I'll tell you this. I know y'all ready to go. People don't believe in witchcraft. And this girl didn't believe in witchcraft at all. And one of the personalities in her was 13, a number 13, was witchcraft. And after we threw it out, and I said I began to understand why she didn't believe in witchcraft, because that witchcraft spirit was working so strong on her. So, praise the Lord. Well, let's stand. Father, we thank you for this, for your love. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us and all that you've done for us and given unto us. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to meet every need here tonight. If there's someone here that needs prayer, Father, I just ask that you meet that need. And Father, we thank you again for the church. We thank you for Glenn and Irma and Father, this place to come to fellowship one with another with you. And Lord, I pray right now that the enemy will not steal your word, Father, that as we depart this place, that the word will become a reality within us, a living reality, that, Father, that we may have eyes to see with, ears to hear with, and heart that understands. And we'll give all the praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you again, Father, for all that you do for us day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.